Even in the dead of night, and 3 in the morning is about as dead as the night ever gets, there was some faint light in Eddie's bedroom. At least the clumped together outlines of the furniture were visible in the half-dark. The shape of the gooseneck lamp on the bedside table cast a dull shadow of itself on the headboard of the bed. And the bedroom door, which was always left ajar, so that Marion could hear Ruth calling for her, if Ruth called, was edged with a dark gray light. This was whatever light was able to penetrate the long hall, even if it was only the distant light from the feeble nightlight in the master bathroom. Even that light found its dim way to Eddie's room, because the door to Ruth's room was always open too. But on this night, someone had closed the windows and the curtains, and when Eddie opened his eyes to an unnatural and total darkness, someone had closed his bedroom door. When Eddie held his breath, he could hear someone breathing. Many 16-year-olds see only the persistence of darkness. Everywhere they look, they see gloom. Blessed by more hopeful expectations, Eddie O'Hare tended to look for the persistence of light. In the total darkness of his bedroom, Eddie's first thought was that Marion had come back to him. "Marion?" the boy whispered.
"Jesus, aren't you the optimist?"
Ted Cole said.
"I thought you'd never wake up."
His voice came from everywhere, or from nowhere in particular, in the surrounding blackness. Eddie sat up in bed and groped for the bedside lamp. But he was unaccustomed to being unable to see it. He couldn't find it.
"Forget the light, Eddie," Ted told him. "This story is better in the dark."
"What story?" Eddie asked.
"I know you want to hear it," Ted said. "You told me that you asked Marion to tell it to you. But Marion can't handle this story. Turns her to stone, just thinking about it.
You remember when you turned her to stone by just asking her about it?
Don't you, Eddie?"
"Yes, I remember," Eddie said. So, it was that story. Ted wanted to tell him about the accident. Eddie had wanted Marion to tell him the story. But what should the 16-year-old have said? Eddie certainly needed to hear the story, even if he didn't want to hear it from Ted.
"Go on, tell it,"
the boy said, as casually as possible. Eddie couldn't see where in the room Ted was, or if he was standing or sitting. Not that it mattered, because Ted's narrative voice, in any of his stories, was greatly enhanced by an overall atmosphere of darkness. Stylistically, the story of Thomas and Timothy's accident had much in common with Ted Cole's The Mouse Crawling Between the Walls and The Door in the Floor, not to mention the many drafts that Eddie had faithfully transcribed of a sound like someone trying not to make a sound. In other words, it was a Ted Cole kind of story. When it came to this kind of story, Marion's version could never have been a match for Ted's. For one thing, and this was immediately clear to Eddie, Ted had worked on the story. It would have killed Marion to have paid as close attention to the details of her boys' deaths as Ted had. And for another thing, Marion would have told the story without devices. She could have told it only as plainly as possible. In contrast, the principal device in Ted's telling of the tale was extremely self-conscious, even artificial. Yet without it, Ted might not have been able to tell the story at all. As in most Ted Cole stories, the principal device was also clever. In the story of Thomas and Timothy's accident, Ted talked about himself in the third person. Thus, he stood at a considerable distance from himself and from the story. He was never I or me or myself. He was always only Ted, or he or him or himself. He was merely a supporting character in a story about other, more important people. If Marion had ever told the story, she would have stood so close to it that, in the telling of it, she would have descended into a final madness, a madness much greater than whatever madness had caused Marion to abandon her only living child.
"Well, here's the deal," Ted began.